with the view from her Jerusalem window. Here's Andrea Simontov.
So they let you out of your home, did they, Andrea?
Oh my gosh. I went out. It was terrible.
It was terrible.
You can't make agoraphobic jokes, because people really have a condition, but I like it. I couldn't wait to come home. My face was sweating, the pores. It was gross. And only you only have these Anglos wearing their masks properly. Israelis seem to, a lot of them, everybody was masked. Everybody, Simon, was masked. But a lot of them wear them like little neckerchiefs. Or chin, they hide like flabby chins, like just a chin down, chin cover. I'm trying to, that I always promote Israel. Oh, how wonderful Israel is. You have to come to Israel. Every Jew has to be here. I have to tell you, I was cursing Israel, cursing Israelis. I had an appointment at the bank. That's why I left.
Yeah.
And, no benches. We had to stand there. My appointment was for 11. I finally got in at 12:20. And I'm writing, you read my articles. You read my articles. I'm very lofty. Woodstock. I'm very, oh, nice, sweet. We're in this together. Let's do this. People were killing each other, screaming, banging on glass doors, loathing each other.
I can understand that, but what I'm also interested in is, I mean, having been locked up for as long as you have and suddenly to be out, were you left with some sort of hesitation in terms of your social distancing? Were you hyper aware of those issues today, or did the bank just take all that away?
Very, very. I felt extremely vulnerable, and it wasn't just me. At a certain point, I got on the bus. I said, I'm not going to take the bus. I'm scared, Germ Central. And finally, on the way back, I took the bus, and people were offering other people seats, and people were keeping a distance. There was nobody sitting next to one another. Even online outside the bank, people were really keeping their distances. I have to tell you, between the pictures of New York and Israel, you see that? People are just all over each other. I don't know what it's like in South Africa. Here, people are absolutely observing it. They're keeping their distance. And nobody's offended. You put up your hand, and people will just back up. Went into the stores. They make you wait outside. Yeah.
I suppose you're a religious woman, so I suppose, actually, I don't know if you shake hands with people or not, but that instinct to just put out one's hand, were you aware of people stop that, or people just not doing that?
Yeah, no one's doing that anymore. And actually, the religiosity, beside the point, I'm a big hugger. I hug my women friends. I mean, people come over and visit my clients. I have clients, and we just always take that moment. That has been very, we're very aware. When somebody leaves, we just kind of do we don't even touch elbows. We do the elbow wave. It's sort of like that armpit fan thing, we do the namaste, but we're not good at Indian stuff. Yeah, no, that's the distance. I'm wondering if that's going to come back. I miss touching people. None of that. Very aware. I don't know. What's about you?
We're not out, so we haven't to that point yet. We're like way behind the curve in that regard. I think in South Africa, it's just so much more difficult and confusing because you've got the first world and the third world all in one.
That's
and whilst
right.
most of us sit, with perfectly adequate supplies of food and warmth and in our lovely homes, we are very aware of the fact that there are so many immunocompromised people just 4 kilometers down the road who are not experiencing it
in the
way
we have. I've seen the photos of the food lines, and I know that people are just like sardines in,
Exactly. So that's
I have to tell you, I remembered this today, Simon, because when I was really kind of losing it, I went and I banged on some doors myself at the bank with my fists. But, I thought about it today, and I thought, listen to us. We're getting all hepped up. We have food. We have air. We have a functioning bank that they're making me wait. But we're very, very, I come home and I got into my house and I shut the door. And you know what? The electricity was on. We're so fortunate. We're so fortunate. Yeah. And it's very easy to get sucked up into the ugly and sucked up into the negative. Yeah, no, but once I got into the bank, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to run right up to the bank officers. No. They had like, I wanted to see like body drawing on the floor, like crime scene. They had a crime tape up and you still had like throw him your identity card and he threw it back at me. It was,
it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting for, to see how it works in South Africa. We were just talking about the, ugly Israeli who doesn't like to queue, but I did notice on social media a little earlier in the week, you asked a fascinating question. You put it out there for, Olim in Israel who've been there for a significant amount of time. What do you love today as much as the day that you arrived, however many years ago? And I was just interested, Andrew, what kind of response did you get to that? Can you give me an example or two?
Yeah, but you know what? Even more standing on one foot, I actually, when you always throw out a topic, I wanted to tell you on one foot why I asked the question. I mean, it's not Yom HaAtzmaut. I got a call about a week ago from a high school friend, somebody who I knew that he was peripherally Jewish. He's part of that whole renewal movement, that reconstructionist. And I got a call. No kesher to Israel, no connection, has never been to Israel. He and his wife want to make Aliyah.
Really?
I couldn't believe it. It was mind blowing. And there was something so pure, so tahor, and he loves the Israel that's kind of coming across his feed, very excited, and he knows that he's very secular, and he knows that he needs a very artistic community, and he knows, but suddenly, and why did he come up with this idea? They're part of that American left that, you know, Donald Trump cannot, and the man can't breathe in and out without, you know, being lambasted. And I had posted on Yom Ha'am, on the Independence Day, I posted an Israeli flag, and this fellow and his wife saw the flag, and they both began to cry. It was so, oh wow, and I thought to myself, my gosh, God is allowing me to intersect at this time of human history with these. And so we met, we did some talking on the Zoom, and I thought to myself, he's reminding me through his innocence and this purity of wanting to be part of something that he really can't even articulate. And I thought to myself, let me remember, let me see through the eyes of others what still gives us a kick, what still makes our hearts go, you know, pity pat. And I got primarily two of the main things I got was, the people, ironically, you know, we often say.
Yeah, no, it's a double-edged sword.
This is a joke. This is a joke. But we say Israel's great except for the Israelis. I didn't say that. Okay. But, it's the people. It's the freedom. It's the chutzpah, the lack of pretension. And this was absolutely, I would say, across the board. And then I got one answer, which really made me laugh a heck of a lot. And he said, the fact that everything seems to work here with no rhyme.
No hint of irony.
Yeah. He said, you know, it's basically the entire country is one large disaster and yet it just works. And I needed to remember through the bellies of others so I could hand this over to my friend who's counting on me. And I was thinking about him during today's banking day and I was saying, I'm very happy that he's not chatting with me now.
Because that's what happens in Israel. That's the way it is. There are days that are incomparable and there are days that you want to murder. It's just the way it is in Israel. And
absolutely. And yet you remember. Yeah. And like before you dump me, I just want to tell you that that's the thing that every day on my worst day in Israel, and I have told you this before, on my worst day of Israel, there's nowhere else that I would rather be. And I figure we are flawed. Come here and fix it. Come to a place where minimally you count. You know, no host culture. We own this baby. And that's part of the chutzpah. We all own it. It's my bank. What, they're going to make me stand in line? It was bad enough. They made me push buttons and make an appointment.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're making me miss it. I should have been there, and you've made me miss it. Anyway, that's what refund vouchers are all about. You get to use them at another time, and you and I will have a kosher shawarma somewhere in Jerusalem on the Midrachov, I'm sure.
I'm working on you, Simon, baby. I'm working on you.
I'm happy to be worked on. Andrea, sending all the love in the world. Thank you, as always, for the input. And, yeah, same time next week.
You got it. Shabbat shalom, friends. Bye-bye.
Shabbat shalom.